Route 616, your home for all fans Marvel main continuity.
And asking the important questions like why Dan has his own name on his shirt.
Hey.
Oh, Jesus, it's more than I thought. I just saw it, Dan.
The lizard got it for me.
Well, you're a man. You're old enough to be a myth. The last one I don't know about.
Yeah,
but anyways.
Yeah. No, she was shopping in Halifax, and she saw it, and she just had to get it. So.
This is episode 56 of Route 616, and as you can tell, all three of us are here, ready for a good time with some bad comics.
Yeah.
It's a pretty dire week, to be honest with you guys, but we'll push through it and hope for a
they
better one next
they
time.
They told me they wouldn't pay me if I didn't read Giant Man.
Yeah, that's what we told you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, ain't nobody getting money from this, but
which is good because I didn't read the last Giant Man.
Yeah.
Again, I read it once and that was enough.
Fair
enough.
I flipped
through
it
to remind myself what happened in it and see if there was anything important I wanted to comment on. And then I very happily forgot that it existed.
I think I relatively blocked out most of this week in my head, so this should be a fun trip down memory lane. So this will be great.
Bringing back trauma since 2022.
Okay.
Anything fun and pop culture wise that's happened in the last week? I don't really think so, but I mean,
I'm dying to see Tales of the what was it? The Tale of the Demeter.
The Dracula ship movie.
Yeah, I'm dying.
Yeah,
to see
I really want to see that. That looks good.
I love the Stoker's original story, and it gets well treated in Nosferatu and Frank Langella's Dracula. So I'm really, really curious as to even though we know exactly how it's going to end, I'm really curious to see what they do with it.
The previews make it look like they step pretty far away from the existing Dracula legend, but from what it looks like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, too. I mean, it's an interesting idea to do it.
He just seems a lot more bestial than he is in the book.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a bit of De Laurentiis going on in there. But, yeah, I thought it was a brilliant idea. You know, let's just take this one little, unspoken chapter from the story and make a movie of it. Right? It's kind of like Peter Jackson did with King Kong and all the guys that fell into the canyon. It's like,
yeah,
that
was a surprisingly good movie.
Yeah.
I don't generally like King Kong movies, but that one was fun.
Well, I liked that he was willing to sort of add, he added a lot, and I will never forgive him for casting Jack Black. But and I like Jack Black, just not in that role.
Yeah, that was not a good role for Jack Black.
No, he's anything but Carl Denham. But what they did, all those things that happened in the cavern, just down in that gully, had been hinted at when they were making the original film. They had all these ideas that they wanted to do and never did. And Peter Jackson went, well, oh my bad, and off he went and he did it. And he did a phenomenal job of it. So, I'm hoping, this new Tales of the Demeter will be the same concept where they're going to take something that was never really talked about, which is hinted at, and just have a good time with it.
Yeah, I'm planning on going in not even thinking of it as a Dracula movie.
Yes.
Because if I get hung up on the Dracula-ness of it, I probably won't like it since it looks like they deviate pretty far from established Dracula canon. But if I just take it as a vampire movie on an old sailing ship, then it looks awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, Stoker, deviated from, the whole vampire concept to begin with, so.
This is kind of a return to what vampires were at the time.
Yeah, which is something I'm excited about. I like the idea. Right. So has anybody been following the Women's World Cup?
I see scores periodically, but I've kind of tuned out since we got embarrassed.
It's been good. The last couple of matches, the quarterfinals and such, have been really, really good. Spain's
That's
been
good,
because
I didn't get to see many good matches. I only watched the Canadian ones.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we didn't play very well, did we?
We did not. We should have beat Nigeria by a lot. We should have beat Ireland by even more. Yeah. And I figured we were losing to Australia, but not the way we did.
Yeah. Well, we, as current Olympic champions, I was expecting a bit more.
Yeah, I thought we were at least going to make the group stages, or the knockout stages. We had a tough round, but the Olympic champions should be able to get out of it.
Yeah, they get into at least the round of 16. You know, but anyway, the quarterfinals have been really good matches.
Of course, we're not paying them to practice or anything, so no wonder they're not playing well.
Yeah. And a final pop culture note is apparently Tottenham's losing Harry Kane.
I saw that.
Boy, oh boy, what are they going to do now? If they're hoping Son's going to step up, they're in deep trouble.
Go back to being a steaming pile of Hotspur?
Yeah. Yeah, that everybody accidentally steps in on their way up the Premier League table.
It's not as bad as Wolves selling everyone. Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. You guys Tottenhamed up a little bit yourselves.
I still didn't watch that video, so...
They got hit hard with financial fair play restrictions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's making it extremely unlikely that they're going to be able to stay in the Premier League.
You'd think that if they were breaking restrictions so bad, they would have been half decent, but... Oh, well.
Well, here's the thing. When they broke the restrictions, they were awesome. That was a 90-point season in the championship. That's how it...
Yeah.
And if they had gotten... If they hadn't qualified for the Premier League, they would have been in serious, serious trouble, because the only reason they didn't get sanctioned was they were no longer governed by the body that would have sanctioned them.
Yeah. No, it... it could have gone better. That's okay. There's been a lot of changes all of a sudden. So,
oh, have you seen the new rules for this season?
I heard there's a new extra time rule.
That's not the bad one, but some of them are really stupid.
Okay.
They told refs to be strict, like to allow more physical play without providing any sort of a definition.
Okay.
So we're going to get vastly different calls from game to game. And then they increased the severity of the dissent rules so that, like, if two players talk to the ref about a call, at least one of them has to get a yellow card.
Okay.
I'm all for cutting dissent out, but not during a time when you're going to have incredibly controversial rulings coming down on a weekly basis anyway, because stuff will be legal in one game and red carded in another because no one knows what they're doing.
Because it's all judgment calls all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's all judgment calls and they haven't gotten any guidance
on
those.
The WCW in the late
90s. How do you go to the VAR for that?
Yeah, and then only one person is allowed in the technical area.
Oh, really?
Yep. And one other person is allowed to yell to the guy in the technical area from in the benches, but only if he's right at the bench. And it has to be one designated person.
All right. Okay.
And they're not allowed to complain at all to the refs, or they will also be red carded. And when a manager gets red carded now, they're not even allowed to stay in the arena. They have to go back. They're not allowed to be able to see the pitch. They have to go back into the dressing room and watch the rest of the match on TV.
Okay. Well, okay, I don't think that's that bad an idea for that one. You get the managers out of there. If they're red carded, get them to hell.
Yeah, they're not bad ideas in a vacuum.
Hmm.
Putting them together is going to be a shit show.
Yeah, especially if you put that many changes in.
Yeah.
I mean, the referees are hard-pressed enough.
Yeah, I'm all for cutting the dissent, because nothing hurts the game as much as watching six guys going and complaining to the ref every time there's a call.
Every time there's a call, yeah. And the question is, how much of this do you think is because of sodium ammonia?
Probably a fair bit.
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. Is he brought a lot of this on, all the leaks.
Yeah, I'm really not looking forward to going on Manchester United's subreddits after matches. Because the whine, and I'm talking about my own club, but the whining after any ref call on there is insufferable.
Yeah, because it's not like the Man U fans aren't known for their freaking whining.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Right? It's going to be just pathetic.
We have an insufferable fan base, and I'll admit that.
The Man U fan base is unique. The fact that they put up reaction videos, you know, compilations of Man U fans, you know, crying into their diapers, you know, after every match, right, is enough to tell you that, right. I mean, there are a few Liverpool fans who'll kind of go, "Ah, man, we sucked," but you know,
maybe it says something about me. I follow the New England Patriots too.
Yeah.
But I seem to be drawn to teams with insufferable fan bases.
Yeah. Bill likes really, the bitch clubs.
Yeah, bitch you really team. Do pick the teams, boy. There's some good choices there.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so I think Mane and Ronaldo are on the same team now, aren't they? They're in Arabia? They're in the Saudi League or something?
I think so, but usually once I see someone's going to Saudi, I stop paying attention.
Yeah, well, I think Ronaldo and Mane are on the same team now.
I think so.
That'd
but,
be freaking terrifying.
Yeah. Right. Except all those Saudi teams seem to have insanely loaded teams like that, so it's not unique. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you picture those two charging down the pitch at you, you're a goaltender, you're going to have brown spots your undies.
Well, okay, in the current time, I have trouble picturing Ronaldo charging at anyone.
Okay, that's fair.
That was part of the major reasons he didn't work out at United. They expected him to charge, and he wouldn't.
Yeah, but, I mean, Mane will set him up, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, that was our big problem, that we didn't have an identity that could work with Ronaldo. Like, Ronaldo in the current era is still fantastic.
Yeah,
but you have to play to what he's good at, which is not a lot of mobility.
Yeah, but, I mean, it'd be like Messi tearing up the MLS.
Yeah.
Right, you know, a man amongst children.
I would be more terrified of that if my team wasn't the worst in North America already. We had they just had a tournament.
I wasn't going to say anything.
45
at all about
top. Oh, I know Toronto sucks this year.
I wasn't going to say it.
They just had a tournament of the 45 top North American teams. We got 45th.
Oh, nice. You did good then.
Scoring high.
Yeah. Better than I thought you'd do. 45th out of 45? That's good.
Sadly, with the way we're performing this season, that is.
Yeah, you really can pick them, can't you?
At least
buddy?
You didn't Virgil it and become the 31st out of 30.
Well, for anybody watching, Halifax Wanderers, you got to support them. Boom.
Yeah. Halifax Wanderers are better than TFC this year. That's
dude,
not even me being
dude,
self-facing.
The
they're just literally
better,
and they're like
Toronto
two divisions down.
Oh. Yeah, let's do the comics, because this is going to get ugly.
On to the comics. We have three Captain Americas to start us off for the first half. Then we're going to do our last two Giant Man to finally beef through our suffering. And then we have our opening salvo on the Namor comics. His run in Astonish starting this week as well, to end us off.
Don't be fooled.
It's all right.
Something
besides a couple
going
of them.
On with that.
No, you haven't read far enough into the Namor. You're still in the getting fooled phase.
Yeah, I know.
Because I know where you are in Namor.
Yeah, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah. He's not fighting a giant bulldozer yet. That's not a joke.
That sucks. Anyways, we're going to start today off with Tales of Suspense number 66, the B story. Of course, last week we did the A stories, the Iron Man stories. So this time it's time for the Captain America, and this one is titled "The Fantastic Origin of the Red Skull." We have Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, of course, in this fucker. Chuck Stone on inks. Jack Kirby, Frank Giacola on the cover, Artie Simico on letters. This is a March 1965 release date, 10-page story, and I will take this one away. Doop.
Boom.
Captured while attempting to sneak into Nazi Germany, Captain America is now the prisoner of his mortal enemy, the evil Red Skull. Revive and Cap, the two talk about how the man named Maxon, whom Cap fought last month, wasn't really the Red Skull, but an imposter. No way.
No.
Yeah, no, because remember the last issue of Cap we read, the Red Skull wasn't the real Red Skull, and it was a whole stupid bullshit thing. But anyways, with that fact cleared up, the Red Skull decides to tell Captain America his life story. The young boy who would one day become the Red Skull was an orphan who lived on the streets and had to steal to survive. Find himself in and out of jail and working as cheap labor. This young man would grow up full of hatred for others. During the rise of the Nazi party to power, the young boy was a bellhop for a hotel. One night, the young bellhop happened to have the opportunity to wait on Adolf Hitler, who was staying there. Realizing the boy's hatred and potential.
I just want a little slice of turkey with some grease on it.
I see what you did.
Realizing the boy's hatred and potential. Hitler took
I was
going to
spin it into a Red Dwarf joke, but that was too much to engage
Brooks
with.
Is all you're getting from me at the moment.
That was a geography joke, Ryan.
Yeah, and now I can slip right into the Oliver joke and start singing Food, Glorious Food. See? I tied the producers and Oliver into this comic book. How's that? Okay.
Realizing
tell
the boy's
me you're
hatred,
not impressed.
Much like mine for Dan's jokes and potential, Hitler took the boy under his wing and trained him to
you've
be his greatest soldier.
You've never seen either of those movies, have you?
Eventually earning the costume.
He just can't handle that it's springtime for Hitler.
In Germany. Ryan, he's lost. He's completely lost. He's no idea
I don't
what
know
we're
what's going
about.
On.
I'm wearing a cardboard belt. Sorry.
Red Skull becomes the figure that even Adolf Hitler would come to fear.
The Fuhrer was not a girly man. The Fuhrer was Butch.
I am the author. You are the audience. I outrank you. Kenneth Myers, best role ever. Should have won an Oscar for that one.
The best thing is we were quoting different versions of the movie.
Yes. Yeah, you. I was doing the Gene
I was
Wilder
doing Will
Zerner
Ferrell.
Still. Well, yeah. Yeah, who was actually a good choice for that role?
Oh, I loved him as the in that role.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Anyway. Okay, Ryan, back to you.
We'll let you get back to the comic now. We'll stop talking about the producers for at least two more lines of the synopsis.
Yeah, then we're going to break into a musical, so get it done quick.
The Skull's story is interrupted when Cap tries to escape, however. The Red Skull easily knocks him down and continues his story. From there, he spoke
and
on how...
Biatch.
From there, he spoke on how during the early days of the war, he had managed to spread destruction and terror wherever he went, slowly eliminating all whose ranks were above him until he was second only to Hitler himself. Finishing his story, the Skull is attacked again by Cap, but suddenly a drug that was administered to him kicks in and Cap passes out. Joined by a Nazi doctor, it is revealed that Cap was given a drug that made his mind a clean slate, ready for brainwashing, conditioning him to believe in the Nazi ideal. Captain America is ordered by the Red Skull to seek out and murder the Supreme Commander of the Allied Armies. Ta-da.
Boom.
This was a really good comic.
Yeah, it actually was pretty good. The Red Skull's origin is fun.
Despite the amount I was making fun during it, I really liked this one.
Yeah, even though it wasn't a musical.
Well, can't have everything.
That's true. It's true. Disappointed.
I actually really liked that they started with Cap already captured. Because most comics would have done like a generic half issue of action where Cap was getting captured. And it was much more impactful to see him already tied to a chair and tortured when the comic opens.
Yeah, I love watching Captain America get tortured. It is awesome. My favorite part of the comic.
I feel like we enjoyed it for different reasons.
No need to get kinky with it, Dan. Anyways.
Fine, be like that.
I liked this one. I gave it a 3.
I also gave it a 3. This was a high 3 for me. They did a lot of stuff well. But it's only 10 pages, and the outcome of the cliffhanger is fairly apparent already, so...
And I hope you didn't want Captain America to be good this whole week, because it sure isn't. Because now we move on.
I feel a Madeline Kahn coming on. Let's get moving quick.
Now we go into Tales of Suspense number 67, The Beast Story. This one's called Less Tyranny Triumph.
Less Tyranny
Triumph. Stanley, Jack Kirby here, Frank Giacolo on inks, and we have Jack and Mike Esposito on the cover. Artie Simic on letters. April 1965 release date. This is a 10-page story, and this one is for Dan to take away.
Yeah, and can we just focus on how freaking horrible that cover is?
Freaking.
Oh my god. Like, seriously?
The Cap half's not bad. The Iron Man half is terrible.
Nothing about it is appealing. Just nothing.
Well, the Iron Man half was terrible in general, so...
Yeah, he matches the tone of the stories. Cap's all right, okay. And Iron Man is awful.
Yep, okay, that's fair. Okay. So, the synopsis for Lest Tyranny Triumph. In the last issue, Captain America was captured by the Red Skull and brainwashed into going to assassinate the Allies' top military
leader. Can't believe I gave Dan a Captain America story.
Yeah, I feel so good about this. Just give me a nice paper cut and pour lemon juice in it, you bitch. Cap leads an army of Nazi soldiers on a training routine before going on their mission. Meanwhile, Bucky, who was also captured by the Nazis and is about to be executed by a Nazi firing squad, God, the grammar's horrible. Wherever their guns weren't loaded, and it was all a cruel joke, leaving them to wonder when they really will be executed. Next time, definitely. Okay, however, this never happens, as Bucky leads a rebellion which allows the prisoners and himself to get free. Bucky then begins searching around the Nazi base to find Cap. Okay. Instead, he runs into Bob Crane. Again? Okay, yeah, you wouldn't know that what that one was either, would you, Ryan?
No.
You ever see Hogan's Heroes?
Hogan's
Heroes.
I have also not
seen Hogan's Heroes. No, I wasn't selling you. I figured out the context, but I didn't have enough to know if it was funny or not.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but like the Hogan kind of gave it away. But
yeah, well, yeah,
he was either quoting Hogan's Heroes or like Macho Man.
Yeah. Well, is that true? But yeah, the irony of all of this is in Hogan's Heroes, the two main German characters were both played by German Jews. just so you know.
I like that.
Right, it's incredibly ironic. But it's also brilliant. Anyway, elsewhere, the Red Skull has brought Captain America to Hitler to show him that Cap is now fully under his control. Convinced, Hitler then orders an attack on London. Learning of the Nazis' plot, Bucky knocks out a Nazi soldier and takes his place on the plane. That's clever of him. Landing in London.
They parachute into London. Oh, they don't land.
Okay, just check. Which is in the midst of an airstrike. The Nazi soldiers parachute onto British soil. There, Bucky tries to talk sense into Cap. However, he's taken down by a bunch of Nazi soldiers while Cap is ushered onward. Bucky manages to fight them off and chase after Cap. Meanwhile, Cap and the Nazi troops make their way to the Allied commander's office, where Cap pulls a gun to shoot the commander but pauses. One of the Nazi soldiers then has to force Cap to pull the trigger. And this story will be continued in the next issue. Bum, bum, bum.
Joker Dan. Yeah, this was a comic.
It had the best
Just
cliffhanger.
Saying.
Yep. It had the best cliffhanger I've seen in the comic to this point, I think.
That's not really
too bad it doesn't
much,
fucking go anywhere.
No, I know. They dropped the ball in the next issue. But the ending of this one was very solid with the gun firing and it just ending.
Mm. Yeah. Too bad I didn't like the rest of the comic. I gave this a 2.
They've killed Kenny. I'm sorry.
It barely eked out a 3 for me, but it wasn't great. It was just I had to reward the strength of the ending.
Well, so far it's
I didn't.
I'm going to hate myself for saying this out loud, but so far it's actually not that bad. The two of them combined, so far, it's okay. It's readable.
Yeah.
That's a compliment coming from Dan about a Captain America comic.
Yeah. It had some flaws, like Bucky's escape from the firing squad and him just being confident that the guns weren't loaded enough for his entire escape plan to be hinged around them getting shot by a firing squad.
Yeah, all I can see is John Cleese standing there pointing to Michael Palin going, next time, definitely.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
So it had some really bad stuff, but it had some really good stuff too. And for the audacity of making it look like Captain America shot one of the top Allied commanders and making people wait an entire month to find out how that played,
yeah,
I had to reward that because that's not a stuff they did in the that's not a thing they did in the early 60s.
No, it's a good cliffhanger for what it is. Right. I mean, yeah, I like to say, so far, the two stories together are not that bad.
Well, just wait for the next one.
Here we go.
Once it's good, that's a good transition into Tales of Suspense number 68, the B story. This one's titled The Sentinel and the Spy. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby back to do some more Captain America, with Frank Ciccola back on inks as well. Jack Kirby by himself on the cover, supposedly. Sam Rosen's on letters. This is a May 1965 release date. Happy birthday to my father again. And this is a 10-page story.
Last issue, Captain America, brainwashed by the Red Skull, had fought his way to the office of the leader of the Allied forces to assassinate him. However, Cap manages to snap out of his brainwashing before firing the fatal shot, saving the commander's life. Okay, the way he actually saved it was he managed to pull the gun away from aimed at him just as the other guy made him pull the trigger. They kind of gloss over that fact.
Mm. Yeah.
With the help of Bucky, Cap manages to defeat the Nazi soldiers before the Allied forces can round them all up. Word gets back to the Red Skull, who has one of his operatives that is in a POW camp initiate a new plan against the Allies. The plan, dubbed Project Vanish, was implemented by the Skull himself. And no, the plan is not dubbed Project Vanish. Project Vanish is the code name for an Allied super weapon project that he intends to attack. At the camp, the chosen soldier orchestrates events so that he is a lone prisoner taken under the care of an army troop for relocation. Coincidentally, the same troop that Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes are part of.
Wow, funny that.
Yeah. Using hidden gas canisters to escape, the Nazi flees into the woods and finds the cabin which contains the secret weapon that is part of Project Vanish, a disintegration ray.
That's even more convenient.
Yeah. Attacking the army patrol, Steve Rogers... I'm not even going to try to make sense of that sentence because it just grammatically doesn't work. So Rogers and Bucky follow the guy into the woods and find the cabin with all the knocked out guards and special forces soldiers that were guarding that, Project Vanish.
That's where they find Fenris the Wolf God.
A2 Brutus.
Yeah.
So Captain America or Rogers and Bucky go in and start looking around, get into a fight with the guy who's stealing the project, and he
a Necronomicon. And then Ash leaps out with his shotgun and his chainsaw and kills everybody, and we move on rapidly to a new story.
That would be a better story.
Please.
But after the Necronomicon is put away...
Oh, damn it.
The guy starts shooting with the disintegration ray he's gotten a hold of. So
I like my version better.
Yeah, your version was better. Steve retreats and turns into Captain America and sends Bucky back for the rest of the troops. Because, you know, we can't actually have Bucky being useful in this comic.
Oh, hell no.
And then Steve goes back in and tries to fight with the guy, but the guy's got him outmatched with the disintegration ray until the guy realizes that it's not turned up all the way, so he can just turn it up higher and disintegrate even more stuff.
Ooh.
So he cranks the ray up, and of course it explodes because it's not finished. And then the allies find Steve unconscious in the woods, and he goes back to the camp, and he reveals to Bucky that he knew if the guy turned the ray up all the way, it was going to explode because it wasn't finished, so he tricked him into turning the ray up all the way. But nowhere in the actual comic does he do any tricking. The guy's just like, oh, I can turn this up higher, and turns it up himself. So Steve's totally just stealing credit.
Oh, that's good of him.
And it ends with Steve going back to camp and everything returning to normal, and the promise that we'll get another exciting Captain America story next month.
Thanks for the warning. Yeah, that was a bit of a letdown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very accurate to what actual Golden Age Captain America stories were like.
Yeah.
Which is why I said they did what they were trying to do well. However, those Golden Age Captain America stories weren't very good either, so it's still only 2 stars.
Yeah, no, that was a serious letdown.
I gave it 2 as well. I barely got that. It was close to getting a 1. I was really annoyed with some of this, but...
Yeah, I'll joke
aside, yeah. The opening gave it enough to get a 2.
Yeah, I was already cranky after the opening because it was such a cop-out. They had such a strong cliffhanger. And in the first panel, it's just like, oh yeah, I aimed away.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like,
that's
fuck you.
Lame.
You couldn't even give us a page of suspense.
Yeah.
Fuck that disintegrating fucking gun.
Yeah. Okay, we'll pretend this never happened.
Sounds good to me. That's what I like to do with a lot of these shit comics.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Tales to Astonish number 68, The Ace Toy. This one's titled Peril from the Long Dead Past. Should have stayed there. Stanley. Is Stanley writing this one? Jack Kirby and Bob Powell on the art. Yeah,
there's no actual Jack Kirby. Spoilers.
There isn't.
That's a mistake.
Bob Powell. Bob Powell art is what we get.
Vincent Coletta did probably his best work of his entire career here because it's the best Bob Powell's art has ever looked.
Yep, Vincent Coletta's our inker, and Bill just put him over huge.
It's actually decent art in this issue, and it's sure not Bob Powell because I've seen what he's done on other issues, including the next one, so it's got to be Vince.
Very true. Jack Kirby and Mike Esposito on the cover. This one is lettered by Sam Rosen, an April 1965 release date, a 12-page story. And this one is for Dan to take.
Oh, here we go. My favorite title. Peril from the Long Dead Past. Another crap cover, just for anybody who's looking for it. Ugh.
Oh yeah, this one might be worse than the last one.
Yeah, it really is. Right. Synopsis for Peril from the Long Dead Past. Practicing his size-changing abilities out in the country, Giant Man is hit by an oncoming airplane, causing it to crash. Wow, he's tough. He quickly saves a passenger before the plane does crash, but knocks himself out when he trips and smashes into a tree. The pilot turns out to be David Cannon, also known as Giant Man's longtime foe, the Human Top. Having survived the nuclear explosion in New Mexico... What, did he find a fridge to hide in?
So this happened there a lot, don't you know?
Yeah, there's never enough fridges to go around. You know, if they'd had, you know, refrigerators, and never mind, that would be very non-PC. By seeking refuge in a deep cave until the fallout subsided. So he's in a deep cave for a couple hundred thousand years?
I'm not even going to throw this entirely on Stan, because a lot of people at the time thought Fallout would clear in like 48 hours.
Right. Okay. That's another horrible sentence. He was flying back to New York when he spotted Giant Man. Considering smashing Giant Man's head with a boulder, he decides not to. Wanting to come up with a more elaborate plan to destroy his longtime foe, so Cannon leaves Giant Man to recover while he organizes his next plot. Because, you know, just getting rid of the good guy makes no sense.
They made that sound worse than it actually was.
Oh, okay.
It was bad.
Which is pretty impressive.
But the reason he let him left was because he realized the boulder would probably not kill him or even really hurt him that badly. Because it was like a normal human trying to pick up a big rock and throw it at a guy that was like 70 feet tall. So,
Okay.
He figured it was discretion was the better part of valor and to not piss Giant Man off just before he could flee.
Yeah. Returning to his lab in the city, Giant Man attempts to grow to 100 feet in height. However, Gene says not in this lifetime, princess. And so he shrinks back down because it's too much for him, Gene, to handle. Whatever. Giant Man then reveals to the Wasp that he fears his constant size changing is having a hazardous effect on his health, that he should stick to one height as Giant Man, 35 feet.
They're still trying to find a status quo that works for this character.
Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, the Top is sharpening his skills but soon gets fed up with his bulky Top-inspired costume. He designs a new one that utilizes helium to allow him to float in the air. He then begins his next plot against Giant Man. Giant Man, however, is preoccupied with having his lab refitted to accommodate his 35-foot height. Afterwards, Giant Man works on his equipment while the Wasp introduces a newly trained Wasp, Boopsy.
Yup.
They are interrupted by a call from security downstairs and tell them that there is a reporter to see them. Showing the reporter around his new lab, Giant Man soon realizes it was all a trick. The reporter really is a human Top.
Yeah, he shows him around the lab before he thinks to ask to see his credentials.
Smart.
Because that's how the human Top gets caught, is Giant Man asks to see his credentials, and he's like, well, you don't actually need to see them, do you? And Jan's just like, hey, I know you. You're the human Top.
Wow.
It's that bad.
Yeah, okay, so he reveals himself and attacks the two heroes. The Top manages to best Giant Man with his new abilities and captures the Wasp and makes an escape. Growing to giant size, Giant Man pursues the Wasp's kidnapper. That was painful.
I hate this fucking comic. This comic puts the fun in funeral because it's fucking dying.
Well, the first 30 seconds off it were interesting.
Yet it wasn't horrible.
You could have woken up in an alternative universe or something.
Despite Bob's complete inability to figure out what size Giant Man was supposed to be for that sequence. But, I mean, that's been a common theme throughout all of Ant-Man and Giant-Man, that they can't consistently keep him the same size.
Oh, but it just wasn't entertaining.
I gave this a one. This fucking...
It wasn't entertaining
this
at all.
Sucked.
I gave it a two because it was a coherent story. I've read enough comics that I'm not sure what happened at the end of them, that I can't really give a full one if nothing offensive happens in it, and I know what happened in the story.
Oh, I was offended just having to read this. So, I feel fine about my reading.
Yeah, thanks for
letting... Oh, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I'm just explaining how it got a two from me.
Well, thanks for letting me have that one, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
Human Top went from being a possible boy to fucking being an anti-boy in my books. So.
Oh, that happened for me in the one where Giant Man had to fence him off with, like, fences to contain him.
Yeah, that happened earlier on for me, too. I'm just reestablishing the point.
Fair enough. And Dan, you'll be glad you got that one in a moment.
Okay.
Yeah, now it's my turn as we go into Tales to Astonish number 69, the A story, which is titled, "O Wasp, Where is Thy Sting?"
On the
a line that is actually said in this comic at one point.
Because they get pretentious as fuck when stuff's getting canceled.
Stan Lee only edits this one as he lets Al Hartley write this. So that will tell you, this is going to be great. Jack Kirby and Bob... Oh, that's a lie again, probably. It's probably only Bob Powell.
Yeah, it's just Bob again.
And this one's inked by, who the fuck, John Gunta? This must be his first work. It's his only credit on any order.
He might have some expanded credits.
Probably.
Nope, he literally only inked this comic.
Oh, there's probably a reason why.
Having read this comic, I understand why he never inked again.
Yep.
He's like the third worst Bob Powell inker.
Jack Kirby and Saul Brodsky are on this cover. Sam Rosen's on the letters. May 1965 release. Man, May sucked.
May 1965
sucked. That explains a lot of things. This is a 12-page story, and I will begrudgingly take this one. So, continuing from last issue, Giant Man is chasing after the Human Top, who has just captured the Wasp. However, he soon loses his foe, who has mastered the ability of flight with the help of his new costume. That still pisses me off. Once away from Giant Man, the Top tries to get the Wasp to join his cause, explaining that her partner will be doomed once he stumbles upon the trap that he is preparing for him. Hoping to warn Giant Man, the Wasp gives her Wasp the command. Boopsie, was that the name? Who gives a fuck? Command to tell Giant Man where she is. Back at his lab, whoever was writing this didn't care either. Back at his lab, Giant Man is contacted by the Wasp. So was contacted by Boopsie and uses it to fly to the location of the Top's hideout. However, he manages to stumble into the Top's trap, a giant pit. That where the Top will freeze Giant Man into a block of ice. When the Wasp refuses to join the Top, he throws her into the pit as well to be frozen to death alongside her comrade. Whew. Giant Man instructs the Wasp to shrink in size and climb into his costume just before he is sprayed with quick freezing water and encased in a sheet of ice. Believing his foes are dead, the Top has the Giant Man ice skate lifted out of the pit. Ice state lifted out of the pit, but is surprised when a normal-sized Giant Man and Wasp bust out of the ice. Giant Man explains that he waited for the outer... We're going deeper into that in a moment. Giant Man explains that he waited for the outer layer of water to freeze before shrinking to normal size to free himself. So there it is. Giant Man can now suddenly... No, freeze. Before shrinking to normal size, that's... Okay.
It's not the person summarizing the story that got that wrong.
Doesn't he shrink down to ant size here?
No, he
and
can't shrink to ant size.
I thought he broke that here. They talk about that at the end, how he can suddenly friggin' do it again or whatever. Like, they just kind of gloss over it.
Maybe he did. I mean,
I'm pretty sure. Like, he's just suddenly did it because I remember being pissed off about that when I read this. Anyways, after
I think he did because they wanted to restore the status quo. Because at this point, they knew the book was dead. Last month, they were still trying to set up a new status quo, and then they realized the book was dead. So they're like, "Well, fuck it. He might as well have Ant-Man powers again."
He's suddenly able to shrink himself to escape the ice state. When
it's very
he
badly
had been
written,
unable.
So I'm not surprised that the person summarizing this didn't know what happened.
After a brief battle, because I was pissed off about that when I read it, and I had that in mind. That's why I said, "Wait a moment, we'll get into that in a second," because I was waiting for that to come up. After a brief battle with the Top is knocked into his own trap and is frozen as well, then pulled out and thawed out before being turned over to the police. After the Top has been arrested, Giant Man explains that his constant groan has affected his health and that continuing to do so may lead to his death. God forbid. And so decides that it is time to retire from being a superhero, which ties into the Avengers going on at the time.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Thank God Giant Man's dead. One star, go fuck yourself, Hank. Oh, yeah. The worst title we've covered so far, and probably for a long time.
Yeah, because even the bad stuff, in the it's probably the worst title we'll cover until Marvel. Because even most of the bad stuff in the 70s, like I'm reading a lot of bad stuff where I am now. But it's better than this shit.
You say so. That really wasn't very good.
No, this is terrible. That's what I'm saying. I've read, like, most of the stuff I complain about being bad to you guys is miles better than this.
This was fucking miserable to read.
This is why I just skimmed when I came back to it today. I read 3 pages and couldn't commit to the rest and just had to flip through it.
What a pitiful outing for the last issue of Giant Man, which just sums up the whole fucking run, to be fair. Just a pitiful attempt
spoilers.
To make a superhero comic.
90% of last issues are terrible. Because either the creative team is pissed that they're getting canceled and don't care anymore, or they're trying to jam in the next 6 months of storylines that they had already started setting up into one issue, or they don't know that it's the last issue, so it ends on a cliffhanger that gets resolved in Incredible Hulk a year and a half later.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
it seems like Hulk is always the title for cleaning up canceled titles.
Doesn't account for 90% of the title being terrible.
Yeah, no, this title was always bad, but this issue is bad for Giant Man.
Yeah, I probably would have given this a 0 if I could have. To be quite frank about it.
I kind of wish I could give it a full 5. On, like, negative stars. This is one of the worst comics I've read.
Yeah, this is one of the worst comics we've covered for sure so far. I don't know if it's the worst, but it's certainly down there. It's certainly a bottom 3 for sure. It's gotta be. But anyways, let's move on and end with something kind of good. With Tales to Astonish number 70, DA Story. This one is titled The Start of the Quest. What a quest that will become. Stanley writes this one. We've got Gene Cole and Thank You Lord on the art. We've got Vincent Clutt on inks. That's a good pairing. Jack Kirby and Mike Esposito on cover art. Artie Simic on letters.
I'm not sure that credit is correct.
Okay.
I don't think it's Gene.
Yeah, Gene Cole is doing it. Gene Colan does Namor. It's him from the start.
He must be using a pseudonym because it's credited to Adam Austin in the book.
Well, it might be a pseudonym. Or he comes in on the second issue and they messed up here.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because I knew it wasn't Gene Colan that I had read in this comic. Because
he's on... I could tell it was Gene Colan.
He's got to be right just away. Using a... He's got to be just using a pseudonym, because now that you say that, it really does seem like Gene Colan art. Yeah, he's got to be, because the second issue is also credited to Adam Austin.
Yeah, then it must be, because is Gene Colan written
all over it? It's definitely Gene Colan. As soon as you said that, it's so obviously him. But I don't read the credits on the Marvel site. I read it in the comic, so I hadn't noticed that it was credited, or that it wasn't Adam Austin.
I wonder how long that goes on. That must have just come to light that
probably
he used it. Probably
as long as he's on this book, because relatively early on it gets switched over to Bill Everett.
Interesting. That sucks.
Not really. Bill Everett actually does fantastic on this. I mean, he's the guy who invented Namor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's trading one decent artist for another, but I like Gene Colan's work in this title.
Yeah, I had made a note to compliment Adam Austin on doing fantastic art, but now that I know that it's Gene Colan, it's less surprising.
It all makes sense. May 1965, this came out, apparently. So it came out the same month as... I guess they could have done it
It's probably first week and last week because probably. This is the August cover date.
They probably squeezed it in because it was a new starting point, so they probably just... No, I mean, the Hulk right now is, like, in a point where he's getting, like, just... They're just stretching the story out, pretty much. I'm around this
Hulk,
part.
That first Hulk arc is way too long.
And
I
they're
don't
stretching
think they knew
the story
what they
to hell.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what they wanted to do with it.
So that would make sense that they were able to just squeeze this out.
I'm trying to quickly skip ahead to when this comes up in Hulk to see if it's a mistake on the site.
And this is a 12-page story, and after Bill gets that answer, they will also be taking the story for the synopsis.
Still giant man. Jesus, there's a lot in here. Jesus, how many fucking issues are in this? They were stretching like hell. Okay, there's last.
I'm still reading it.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
I'm at 68 where I'm reading.
It is credited to May 1965, so it's not a mistake. It was two comics that month.
Which they could have easily done with how they...
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 4 or 5 issue story that gets stretched to about 10.
Oh, Bill gone. Ryan gone. Sorry, Bill here.
Yeah. Well, I will give Ryan a chance to return, and then I will start summarizing this. Because Ryan...
There he is.
No idea what happened there, but I believe the recording stayed intact, so...
I figured my talking about all those giant mans that I was flipping through looking for the start of Namor and Hulk scared you off.
Well, this episode has been pretty shitty, but, you know, it is what it is.
Anyway, diving into the other good comic we covered this month.
Yeah, the best comic of the week, to be honest.
I liked Red Skull more.
Actually, yeah, the Cap was probably better. This was not the best Namor issue of this first run.
It's close. This was a good one. Anyway,
it's up there.
Yeah, Namor is on his way back to Atlantis from the events in Daredevil 7 when he is stopped by Lady Dorma, who warns Namor that in his absence, Warlord Krang has seized the throne of Atlantis. Get used to that, because it happens about every 4 fucking issues in this run. He either gets kicked out of Atlantis or he returns to find someone's usurped him. When Dorma tries to tell Namor, he tells her to unhand him, angering her. Upset at being rejected by Namor again, and because Stan writes really good women, she calls the guards, who easily overpower and capture Namor. She accompanies the captured Namor in the hopes that upon seeing Krang on his throne, he will give up his royal status and finally marry her. Yes, that is her correct motivation. Krang gloats at Namor's loss of power and orders the fallen prince to be locked into dungeons. Consumed with guilt, Dorma comes to Namor's side and he convinces her to let him free. He hopes to seek out Neptune's trident so that he may rightfully regain the throne of Atlantis. He recounts how long ago, when Neptune used to rule over Atlantis, he hid the trident somewhere under the sea. In the event someone attempted to usurp the Atlantean throne, one who is truly worthy might reclaim it by finding the trident. Dorma steals the vibra key needed to free Namor from his cell, and Namor begins his quest seeking out the clues that will lead him to the trident. Sneaking out of Atlantis, Namor swims off into the sea. Dorma watches on and is suddenly intruded upon by Krang. Krang gloats that this is exactly what he had plotted all along, hoping that Namor would be destroyed trying to find Neptune's trident. This becomes apparent as Namor heads to the location of the first clue, which is defended by a giant killer squid. Spotting a shell that has Neptune's mark on it, Namor attempts to battle the squid. Slipping past the monster, he grabs the shell, but he doesn't get away fast enough, and the squid is approaching too close for comfort, and that's the cliffhanger we're left on.
Okay.
And get used to cliffhangers of Namor being confronted by giant sea creatures, because that's what they do for every fucking issue.
This is a really good arc that's about three issues too long.
Yeah, okay.
This is another one they're stretching out, is this name. That's why there's a couple not good issues in this, because they're just stretching out, and they go back to Atlantis, and it becomes about Krang and Dorma. Blah, 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 blah. So there's a whole bunch of bullshit.
I mean Krang and Dorma. That goes on for 20, 25 issues?
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Anyways, this was good. I gave it a 3.
Yeah,
this is a good start to the run.
We already talked about how good the art was, so that takes away my main point for this story.
Yeah, and Gene Colan rules.
Yeah, and I took a nice dig at how Stan can't write women with believable motivation.
He just can't write women.
I mean, he technically wrote women. They just, you know, failed the Burkeville test.
Yeah, not realistically.
No.
Even for the that era, they're not even remotely realistic.
Well, it won't...
It's funny watching fucking Claremont and oh god, who was Gene Colan? I think it was Colan taking shots at how bad they write women in Miss Marvel. Because people are commenting in the letters page about how nice it is that they're actually writing a woman with, like, some agency.
Yeah.
Women have that?
Yeah, and they're just burying everyone else at Marvel for being completely unable to write women.
Well, yeah.
Women don't faint at the slight hint of drama.
Hey, oh my god. I just...
Archie Comics handle women better.
They do. You're absolutely right.
We haven't
right.
even
that's
gotten to Jim Shooter yet.
Point. No, but that's a valid point, Ryan. Because, I mean, now, part of this is being cursed by an upbringing reading classics. But, I mean, even if you were to go to sort of the pop culture work, 100 years ago, when Burroughs and Doyle were writing, sort of this, this low-end trashy stuff like Sherlock Holmes or Tarzan or things like that. And even there, the women had agency. I mean, Jane was not some helpless damsel in distress.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Sherlock Holmes was completely defeated by a woman. He's supposed to be the smartest guy alive. And
yeah.
This woman just absolutely humiliates him. She plays him like a violin.
And it's one of the best stories.
It is. Scandal in Bohemia is a brilliant story. But most female characters that show up in
Doyle's
story...
It works because the protagonist gets completely outplayed.
Yeah, but most female characters in Sherlock Holmes stories are extremely well thought out, written, and they have not only have agency, they're usually deeper than the protagonists.
Yeah, but I mean... You think women are bad here? Try reading the romance line.
Stanley obviously had a lot of deep-seated
issues when it comes to women.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'd be an incel if he was around today.
Yeah.
Or a men's rights activist, because, like, that man has serious issues when it comes to women.
Yeah. And you could be right. There could be something there with it. Right? Because his ability to, just transcribe a woman into a story is... horrifyingly bad.
Every single woman in the romance comics
and motive
is absolutely despicable as a human being. And they're supposed to be the protagonists.
But
they're constantly ready to put their boyfriend aside whenever a more attractive or more socially desirable man enters the picture.
Yeah.
And irrationally jealous whenever their boyfriend so much as speaks to another woman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just horrible.
Let's just
like,
put it
they
this...
had some sort of issue.
Let's
go ahead,
put
Ryan.
It
Sorry.
This way. Just think of it like this. The best woman Stan Lee is writing at this point is Sue Storm. And just think about how she's been written. And that's
she's
the best he has
written.
To offer.
She's
I was going to suggest
written.
A different woman, but it's not necessarily better. Because I was going to say the best woman he's writing named Wasp Boopsie.
Yeah.
I think it's Janet Van Dyne that he's writing the best.
Janet, Janet's had the best moments, but he doesn't keep up with the consistency of...
He doesn't keep up with Sue, either.
No, yeah. He doesn't, but I'd say she's a little more consistent overall.
Probably. It's really just you accept moments of humanity or consistently cardboard.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's the thing. They are so cardboard, it's embarrassing.
I mean, Sue wanted to commit genocide, so that's something.
I suppose that's characterization.
Yeah,
excused because she's an emotional woman.
Yeah, she's... Her dad
if it was one of the male
so.
Heroes, it would have been presented as a bad thing, but because she's a woman and emotional, they all coddle her and go along with it.
I suppose they do the same thing with Peter Parker. He's an emotional woman, and they all coddle him.
I can't even be mad about that.
Yeah, argue with me. Go ahead. I'm ready. I dare you. Come on.
That's more Ditko's issues with humanity.
I was
going to
say, not with Steve Ditko's being a Parker.
It's just Ditko hates everyone.
I'll let you have that one, Dan. I'll let you have that one.
Thank you. It was cruel, but it was there. I had to take it.
It was good. That was a good one.
But this was not... God, I hate myself for saying the Captain America wasn't that bad. I really do. And I'm probably going to... This is going to keep me awake at night, knowing I said this out loud on podcast. But it was better than the Giant Man. You know, it was better than Namor.
Well, yeah. Appendicitis is better than that Giant Man.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd rather
end my vacation right now and go back to work than read that Giant Man again.
Yeah, my imagination just got Rochambeau'd by Stan Lee, right? So it's just like, ow. This is just, it's horrible. Right? I don't know. It's
the fact that during the Giant Man, we had a 5-minute debate about what was happening in the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they conveyed what was going on so poorly.
I thought I was fucking losing my mind for a moment. I thought I fucking misread the whole fucking shit.
Comic.
When I read
it's just, I think I was assuming consistency, and you embraced the fact that they didn't give a shit.
Well, we did manage to get some Mel Brooks in there, so I think we're doing all right.
Yes. So what do we cover next week, Ryan?
Oh, God,
yes,
what
Ryan.
Do we cover
what
next
week? What do we cover
oh,
next
it's all
week.
Namor. We cover all Namor next week as we get issue 71.
Say Namor.
71 through 76 of Tales to Astonish A Stories. So I hope you didn't want variety.
Wait.
I
don't watch. I'm just confusing the hell out of myself because I was still way ahead on the Hulk stuff and I was like...
It gets the rest of the Namor story all
yeah,
in
no,
one
Yeah, no, but
I
started skipping through to look at what we were coming up on.
Yeah.
And I hit Amazing Spider-Man after 74, but it was because I was on the tail end of the Hulk arc, not
okay.
Where we were supposed to be. Well, I've got to hit skip forward to check the date.
We can just drag Namor out a bit and avoid Spectacular Spider-Man, you know.
Oh, Spider-Man isn't for a long time.
Oh, good. Thank God.
We have like 2 months before we get any more Spider-Man,
let
probably.
Let me know when it's coming so I can schedule to like be sick that day or be at work, you know.
I make sure you don't know. No. You've gotten your Captain America coverage. Maybe someday you'll get the chance to cover Spider-Man.
We do have that whole Hulk arc coming up before we get to the Spider-Man.
Yes, and that Hulk arc takes place across like 3 different weeks, so or something like that.
Oh,
so,
this is going to be painful.
Yeah, it's like a year-long Hulk arc.
Seriously, it is.
I think it's literally like... Actually, it might be close to 2 years.
I think it's a year and a half, 2 years, something like
that. Yeah, it's like 20 issues of Hulk straight.
Well, not straight, because Avengers and there's an Avengers that breaks it up and something else that breaks it up, but pretty much straight.
Okay. The Avengers breaks it up because it's part of the Hulk story.
Yeah,
or at least references
it's when the Avengers try to recruit him again.
Yeah,
after the last
issue. Currently dead, so they can't recruit him.
Well, we're rapidly stepping over the hour mark here, guys.
We are, even though I can't see that since my recording was interrupted, but...
104.
Anyways. Oh, nice. We will end this episode off. If you are watching this on YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment, even share if you would like to. Go check out...
I would like to. Enunciation's not your strong suit. Buddy.
Like, subscribe, comment, and even share if you would like to.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
English.
Sounded all right in my head, but go check out Bill's and I's TEW series. We are doing another episode today of our current modern day WWE AEW run, so go wait for that and check out the previous episodes. We are also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're on Spotify, click the good old poll. Let us know why you love Boopsie the Wasp. And then come back tomorrow as well as go over to our Twitch, Crew616, and give that a follow, as tomorrow we will be streaming a game. We don't know what yet, but we'll be gaming again, all three of us. So come around for that. Anyway, guys.
I love how you couldn't even with your gimmick of picking like the worst thing we cover in a week, you couldn't pick the worst thing from this week.
Yeah.
I just wanted to shout out Boopsie again.
Boopsie was bad, but Boopsie was like mid-tier bad for this week.
It's just the funniest one to me, so.
Yeah. Boopsie was funny. I was reading it, and I'm just like, oh, God, this is Stan writing a woman.
Anyway,
of course, she named the fucking wasp Boopsie.
We will
have
see
a good one, everyone.
In the next one, and peace.
See you later, guys.
Come back for Namor next week.